Hello. So I'm going to stick to my promise of several years ago and just not keep addressing the fact that I'm missing every single episode because, you know, people listen to this right in a row. So anyway, let's just get right into it. We're on chapter 7 of Samuel, of 1 Samuel, which is really inconvenient to type into the episode names, you know, 1 Samuel 7 and all that. Kind of messed up my process. I don't really remember what's happening. No, Samuel's the leader now. He's judging people. Judge Samuel. Pretty cool. Pretty cool reading today. Here we go. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the children of Israel did put away Baalim and Ashtaroth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpeh, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpeh, and drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and fasted on that day, and said there, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpeh. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpeh, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord for us, for God for us. It's a little hard. I actually haven't read a single thing since I've... This is the only reading I do, so I'm a little rusty on my reading. The words and things and the letters and stuff, I had to re-memorize some of what the letters are, so sorry that my reading's crappy. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines, and the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And this time I'm sure that the Israelites are finally just committed to God and are never going to stray again, because this surely this time they've learned their lesson. Samuel's going to save them, and they'll just be like, I'm just getting this out of the way now, because this is probably what's going to happen after this. Samuel will save them, and then they'll be like, we're not ever worshiping any other god, and then they won't, and it'll be fine. They'll never do anything wrong. End of book. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. They fell in love with Israel? I have to say, that's a really cool tactic of God's. So all of a sudden they're just smitten. And so instead of, they drop their swords and just like, oh, God, hey, buddy, you know what I was just thinking? I love Israelites. God, don't you love them? Oh, I just want to hug them and write them notes and put them in their lockers. They're just, I love them. That's a good tactic. You know, if God did do that kind of thing, like, Dad, he'd actually be a pretty cool God. What if he just, like, made everybody just madly fall in love with every other person? Just everybody at once, and then everybody would be nice. Be like, you know. I know this is sounding kind of very, very hippie, but, you know, if I were God, why not? Like, why wouldn't you make that happen? Then everybody would be fine. Be really cool. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpeh and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. So then it was hardly necessary to smote them. Like, they were already in love. You could have just, you know, leveraged that, asked them to leave. Like, hey, if you really love me, all you smitten Philistines, you'll leave me. You know, you want me to be happy. Just go. And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." What is the point of this stone, and what does it have to do with it? They do this from time to time. You know, they just put these little, like, piles of rocks or stuff, and then you never hear about them again. There's no point of that. Like, they're not still there. It's kind of weird, but the Lord says, like, "Oh, cool, thanks. Thanks for my rock. Awesome gift for helping you annihilate all the Philistines. Well, anyway, if you ever need me again, I'll just be right here. I'll be playing with my rock, so you'll know where I am, because I'm just so thrilled with this rock gift." And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coasts thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. Well, that ought to wrap it up for this Bible. I don't know why it took me so long to do just the last episode, because it sounds like there's just peace. It should be fine. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpeh, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house, and he judged Israel and built an altar there unto the Lord. That's chapter 7. We're on to chapter 8 here. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. I wonder if that's where the term lucrative comes from. I don't know. Lucre. And took bribes and perverted judgment. And then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel in Ramah and said unto him, "Behold, thou art old." Well, jeez. God, they're very direct. Like, imagine if a whole group of people came up to you. "Hey, behold, you're old." They're like, "Hey, you're overweight." Like, just a bunch of group of people. You're fat. Like, it's kind of, they're very direct. "And thy sons walk not in thy ways. And now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." Make us a king. "Sculpt us a king out of clay, and we will..." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people and all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly unto them, and shew them the manner of king that shall reign over them." So this is sign number 8 billion, that the being depicted in this novel here isn't God. I don't think God would be this bitchy and, like, petty. "Well, if they didn't listen to me, so fine. Give them a king. They'll see. No, give them a king. Go ahead. Yeah. No, yeah, that's fine. They want a king. That's what they said. I'll give them a king. He'll be a shitty king, and he'll be horrible. Like, they just fine. Just give him that. Just give him the king." Like, I don't think gods are usually like that. In my experience, I would think they'd be a little, you know, above, like, petty human emotions like that. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and set them to ear his ground, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields, and your vineyards, and your oliveyards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed, and of your vineyards, and give to his officers, and to his servants. And he will take your men servants, and maid servants, and your goodliest young men, and your asses, and put them to work, to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in that day because your king, which ye have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day." Yeah, that's very godlike. And he will not listen. When you come crawling back to me, because I told you you shouldn't have a king, and you said, no, I want a king. So you, wouldn't you have a crappy king, and you come crawling back to me, I'm not going to accept your apology. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, nay, but we will have a king over us. I like to picture, like, all of the people at the same time. Like, he says all this stuff about the king, and then the entire group says, nay, but we will have a king over, like, all at once. That is weird, because this little part to me seems actually pretty believable. It's funny that people are so, I don't know, simple back then or what, but they absolutely need a king, even if he's, like, totally shitty and corrupt, to lead over them. It's really bizarre. It seems like whatever this instinct is in people that to need a leader like this, I bet you that's similarly responsible for needing a god to believe in, like a religion to follow. It seems like people just are made to need some authority figure to tell them what to do, I guess. I don't know, it's weird. That we may also be like all the nations, and that our king... Well, they just want to fit in with all the nations. All the other nations are making fun of them, like, this nation doesn't have a king. What are they doing? No, we have a king. We'll get a king. And then our king may judge over us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice. Make them a king. And so the Lord always has this tone. Do it. Hearken unto their voice. Make them a king. Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go ye every man unto his city. That's the end of chapter 8. Chapter 9. Now there was a man of Benjamin, whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Becherath, the son of Ephiah, the Phiah, a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son, whose name was Saul, a choice young man and goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulders and upward, he was higher than any of the people. Yeah, that means he's definitely good. And the asses of Kish's father, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take one of the servants with thee, and arise, and go seek the asses. And he's like, all right, time to go get some ass. Hey, servant, screw this farm work. Let's go get some ass. They're like, yeah, we're going to go seek some ass. And he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha. But they found them not. They were unable to acquire any ass. And then they had, like, medallions and, like, their hair slicked back and open, like, vests and stuff. Like, but they just were unable. They couldn't find any ass. And then they passed through the land of Shalim, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found ass not. They found them not. And when they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. Which is actually kind of a nice little phrase there. I kind of like that. Come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. A good bit of writing there, you know. It does happen occasionally. And he said unto him, behold now, there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now, let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. So basically, they know of this guy who turns, you know, obviously is Samuel, who's really good at getting ass. So they're like, this guy knows how to get some ass, so let's go talk to him. I need some advice. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. I guess it was law to start every sentence with behold. The other guy's like, behold, okay, let's go. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire, this is all parentheses, it's just giving us, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer, for he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. This is very critical. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, come, let us go. So they went unto the city where the man of God was. And as they went up the hill to the city, they found young maidens going out to draw water. There now is their chance to get some ass. And said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered them and said, "He is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he come today to this city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place." Oh, sacrificing people. "As soon as ye be come into the city, ye shall straightway find him, before he go up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore get you up, for about this time ye shall find him." It's kind of funny that the entire city has to wait for him to, like, wake up, you know, take a dump, brush his teeth, do whatever he does, you know, and then they can, like, eat after he blesses something. What if he's ever, like, really hungover, you know? It's just like, ugh. Gets up at, like, 1 o'clock. Everyone's starving. And they went up into the city. And when they were come into the city, behold, Sam came out against them for to go up to the high place. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow about this time, I will send thee..." About this time. "I will send thee a man..." I can't give you a precise time, but sometime around this time. "I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me." And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man of whom I spake to thee, this same shall reign over my people." This is funny, too, because I bet in reality, because, you know, we all know that there's no God, since he spoke out against the people and said they shouldn't have a king, because God, you know, God doesn't talk to him and doesn't exist, he would be motivated to find just the shittiest king there could possibly be, I would think. So that way he can say, like, "Told you so," you know. So I bet this guy, Saul, came out of the wilderness smelling like crap, totally lost, just looking to get some ass. That's all he was doing. And Samuel was like, behold, this guy. God told me he would come right now. This is definitely him. And God told me about this guy, and he is to be king. And that's how it probably happened. Where the hell was I? Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is." And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me into the high place, for ye shall eat with me today and tomorrow, and I will let thee go. And I will tell thee all that is in thine heart. And as for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago..." Your asses are lost. "Set not thy mind on them, for they are found." They're in the lost and found. "And on whom is all the desire of Israel? It is not on thee." No, sorry. "Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house?" I don't really understand what that is. I forget. And Saul answered and said, "Am I not a Benjamite, the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" And Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them. Among them that were bidden, and were about 30 persons. And Samuel said unto the cook, "Bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee." And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, "Behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat, for unto this time hath it been kept for thee since I said, I have invited the people." So that was really confusing wording, but pretty much he set aside some food for Saul when he got there, and then he had the cook go and get it and said, "Hey, I set this aside for you days ago because I'm so cool and God told me to." So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come down from the high place unto the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. Those communists. And they arose early, and it came to pass, still getting used to this whole reading thing. Came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, "Up, that I may send thee away." And Saul arose, and they went out both of them, and he and Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us." And he passed on. Wow. That's too bad. All he had to do is bid the servant to pass on, and it's like, okay, I passed on. Sorry, I'm dead. But stand thou still a while, that I may shew thee the word of God. Yeah, I've heard this one before. He says, tell that servant of yours to go out ahead of us. And then he says, like, now stand still. Bend over that I may shew thee the word of God. I've heard that one many times. I've also used it. It works really well. Okay, chapter 10. Yes. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the... yeah, oil. Oil in quotes. Now turn around that I may tell thee the will of God. I shew thee the will of God. Next thing he knows, there's oily substance dripping on his head. Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? This is an oil. Yeah, no, it is. It's Lord oil, special lordly oil for anointing purposes. When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. All right. Asses sought, asses found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses and sorroweth for you, saying, what shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and there shall meet the... God, this is so tricky right now. There shall meet the three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread. This Samuel's basically just giving him, like, he's telling him, like, this is what's going to happen. It'll be a sign or something. It's just all these weird details. Now they're carrying a bottle of wine, and they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to that city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp. Before, I wonder if all this happened, but then one guy, like, didn't have a pipe. And then Saul's like, wait a minute, this is what he said. I'm out. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and thou shalt be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou doest as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee, to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, till I come to thee, and shew thee what thou shalt do. And Saul said, Look, I was just trying to get some ass. And now you're telling me all these things I need to do, all these signs, and just, I've forgotten nearly everything you just told me, something about some men and a pipe and a something. I don't know, I don't really, wasn't listening, but this is sounding like a lot of work, so I think I'm just going to go back and try to get some ass elsewhere. Thanks for the food, though. That was really great of you. Yeah, this is getting a little complicated. And it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs. What? And all those signs came to pass, that to say he needed a heart transplant, I guess. I don't know. He had heart issues, or. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him. It's more of that oil. And he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then people said one to another, what is that is come unto this son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? That's what they said. And one of the same place answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? What? That's kind of a shitty proverb is that. And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came unto the high place. And Saul's uncle said unto him and to his servant, whither went ye? And he said, to seek the asses. To seek ass. And when we saw that they were nowhere, We came to Samuel, a real ass hound. And Saul's uncle said, Tell me, I pray thee, what Samuel said unto you. And Saul said unto his uncle, He told us plainly that the asses were found. I tell you plainly, the asses are found, and they are here. But of this matter of the kingdom, whereof Samuel spake, he told him not. So Samuel didn't tell his uncle about the whole king thing and all that. And Samuel called the people together unto the Lord of Mizpah, and said unto the children of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt, and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Okay, great, we're going to get a big recounting of what the Lord has done. And delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of the kingdoms, and out of them that oppressed you. And ye have this day rejected your God, who himself saved you, out of all your adversities. I don't know why I started to read that like advertisements. Adversities. Adversities. And your tribulations, and your tribulations. And ye have said unto him, Nay, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your thousands. And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was taken. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken. Basically, he's saying, like, for no reason, he's telling them, like, everybody get together. And he's doing, like, a little mini census, pretty much. Everybody get together and count everybody. And so Saul, the son of Kish, was taken, and when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, Behold, he hath hid himself among the stuff. Seriously says stuff. That's funny. He hid himself among the stuff. That's what God said. And they ran and fetched him thence. And when he stood among the people, he was higher than any of the people from his shoulders and upward. So his shoulders, like, he was the same height, but his neck was like 3 feet tall, and his head was like another 2 feet. So he's really weird looking. And Samuel said unto all the people, See ye him whom the Lord hath chosen, that there is none like him among all the people. And the people shouted and said, God save the king. This, yeah, man. Sorry, I really can't help it. Then Samuel told the people in the manner of the kingdom, and wrote it in a book, and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, How shall this man save us? And they despised him, and brought him no presents for his birthday. But he held his peace. Okay, so that's chapter 10. I'm on to chapter 11. We're booking it. We got a lot of reading because I accidentally cut the last one short 20 months ago. Just because I messed up the chapter count. I like, didn't really mean to. But we're doing it. We're getting through this long reading. Chapter 11. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up. So do you guys understand what's going on? Guys? Okay, well, I'll just assume you do. Basically Samuel appointed this king named... No. Yes, Samuel appointed the king named Saul. Saul did some tricky crap to not be where he was supposed to be, and then he's like, where's Saul? And then Saul's like, hey, here I am, I'm king. Some weird, like, theatrics. And that's it. There's nothing else has happened for the last 45 minutes or whatever, however long it's been, 30 minutes. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, On this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes, and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. So this is just an unrelated people. Well, they're related, but another little people, like, have been seized. Okay, how do you say that? A town of theirs has been laid siege to. It's under siege. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. And they're like, well, why don't you guys just be friends with us? And the people outside are like, okay, we will, as long as you let us cut out all your right eyes. And they're like, And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, Give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel. And then if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. That's an interesting response. I love how it's the guys like, yeah, we're going to kill you or cut out your eyes. And they're like, okay, give us 7 days to find someone to go kill you. And they're like, all right, cool, that's cool. We'll give you 7 days. Why didn't they just say, no, not 7 days. How about now? Like, why didn't they say that? It's really weird. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. I sincerely doubt all the people wept. There must have been one guy that was like, good, I fucking hate... Oh, sorry. Is this an explicit podcast? It's not. Don't tell on me. There must have been one person that's like, I've always hated those guys. I'm glad they're under siege. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that weep, that they weep? And they told... And why does that one guy not weep? Does he not... And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and his hair got awful oily again when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen, and hewed them in pieces, and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whatsoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall save help. And the messengers came and shewed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and we shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that... Sorry, I just lost my place again. It was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host. So Saul basically is gathering up people to go, you know, help those people in trouble. And three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day, when it got too hot and they didn't want to get sunburned because, you know, that's just unwise for your skin. And it came to pass that which they remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. They didn't have two Ammonites to rub together. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, besides the thousands we just killed, besides them. For today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, come and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men rejoiced greatly. Man, being a good king was so easy back then. All you had to do was make one common sense decision and organize your shitty people to fight one tiny group of other shitty people. And then all of a sudden they're like, this guy's the best king. I love this king. He saved these people. He's such a good king. Surely no one else could have thought to just organize a couple people to go kill people. That's just... only a king could do that. You know, I wonder if... it'd be funny if Saul set this all up. Like he's... or somebody in history. Like, set up a little hostage situation and then... like, you know... negotiated with them to... just to set themselves up to be king. I bet that would work back then. I bet being smart was such an asset back in the day before... everybody was smart. Everybody seems so dumb. You know, the smartest person in the world ever is whoever came up with this religion to just control every single person. It's amazing. It's such a scheme. You know, like the guy Samuel is just in charge of everything, you know, for no reason. Like he just says like, God told me that you all should listen to him. And, you know, it's amazing. That's the biggest genius ever. And Samuel said, this is chapter 12. And Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that ye said. I'm now to the point where I'm pronouncing said. That all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now behold, the king walketh. This is a good move by Samuel. Because it was a win-win, I guess. If the king turned out to be crap, then he can say, like, I told you you didn't want a king. But if it's a great king, then he can say, like, well, I did as you asked, and I found the best king, and, you know, I think I deserve a little something. Or, you know, at the very least, he can say he did it. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord, and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes wherewith and I will restore it you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. So I guess maybe the people were confronting him, actually. Like, hey, you said we shouldn't have a king, but then this guy was badass. And so he's saying, like, well, did I steal anything from you? Like, I found this king for you. I did all this stuff. So like I said, I think these people were just experts at managing this situation, you know? Like, they find ways to attribute good things to themselves and bad things not to themselves, you know, or make little miracles seem like, or make little things seem like God's miracles. Yeah, it's just, it's amazing. I marvel at this. I would love to just do a movie or something and just do all these biblical stories, yet from the point of view of reality, which is that the people in charge are just making this up and are not actually talking to God. It would be really fascinating to do a lot of these, actually. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord. I can't reason with people who are moving, okay? Can you stand still? Stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgat the Lord their God, he sold them to the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor. Just so you guys know, he's just repeating a lot of God's miracles again. He's testifying that, like, God did all these things for you. Because I imagine he had to do that a lot when people started to get wary of a God that didn't exist. Like, wait a minute. And then he's like, no, remember all these things he did? And they cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken the Lord and served Baalim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Bedan and Jephthah and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelled safe. And when you saw that Nabash the king of the children of Ammon came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. Now, therefore, behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord. I'll call him. I know his number. I'll call him. And he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord. Took a minute to get to find a signal and get through. And the Lord sent, and he said, Hey, Lord, I got all the Israelites here. You know, those assholes that don't ever listen to you and follow you for 10 minutes and then stop following you. Yeah, could you... I was wondering, if you're not busy today, could you send some thunder or something like that just to... No, okay, I can hold. Yeah, I can hold. Well, no, I was almost done, actually. Just send a thunder. No, hold on. Just send a thunder, and they'll fear you, and I think that'll really go along. Well, okay, that's it. That's all I want to say. It'll just send a thunder. Okay, all right, bye. And then they waited for a while, and then there was thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. So yeah, like that kind of situation... I wonder if Samuel just said, like, oh, it's a cloudy day today. Maybe I'll start talking. And when it seems like it's going to be thundering, when it looks like the weather's getting bad, I'll just say, God's going to send thunder. And then if you wait all day, then, you know, maybe, I guess people would have been stupid enough to fall for that. I mean, either that or this is just all made up. I don't know. And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, Fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then ye shall go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver. For they are vain. Everyone knows that. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord, and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he has done for you. But if you shall do wickedly, then ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king, and the Lord will find you delicious. Okay, final chapter of our reading. Chapter 13. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent, every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. So I guess they're just attacking the Philistines. Saul has organized them to attack the Philistines. And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear!" And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines. I don't know what that means. And the people were called... I think it just means... All the people heard him say that the Philistines are an abomination that they need to get rid of or something. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, but then no one to man the chariots. They're just a bunch of chariots that they can, like, stack around, you know? And then that's their weapon of war. It's kind of weird that they just had 30,000 chariots. Like, yeah, no one knows how to drive these things, but we can push them and make walls with them. And 6,000 horsemen, without horses, though. They're like, yeah, we're horsemen, but no one gave us any horses, so what do we... I mean, we can all go like, da-da-da, da-da-da, you know, like, it's not... We can't really do much else besides that. And people as the sand which is on the sea, shore in multitude. On the seashore in multitude. Sometimes the line breaks. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Bethaven or something. And when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and high places and pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. So I guess the war's not going well. I didn't really hear a detail about that, but it just sounds like they're not doing well. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. So Samuel made a little appointment with him. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering of the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come now down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." So pretty much, I think he did a no-no because he made a burnt offering himself instead of letting Samuel do it, because you can't, you know. Because if you were, let me tell you, if you were Samuel, and you had made up a god or been part of this intricate lie about a god, in order to maintain power, and someone else did an offering, you'd have to get pretty pissed. You'd be like, no, you can't do that. Only I can do the offering. Like, this is a guy that's really bad. And predictably, Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." He's a man after my own heart. That's pretty cool. I wonder if the saying came from that. "And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." And Samuel arose, and gat him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with them, abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. There were just a mishmash of Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came... Spoiler alert! The spoilers came out of the camp. I don't know what that term is, but... Spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shul. And another company turned the way to Bethoron, and another company turned to the way of the border that looketh to the valley of Zeboim into the toward the wilderness. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattock and his matlock. And they had a file for the mattocks and the coulters and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Michmash. Okay, so that's the end of the reading. It seems like what's happening is just they're trying to go to war, but the Philistines took away all the blacksmiths, so they couldn't find weapons or something, and so they were sharpening all their like farm equipment, tractors, stuff like that, to go after the Philistines. And that's our cliffhanger for this reading. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it Saturday. That's my plan. Record every Saturday. Maybe before then, if I feel lucky, but you know, let's face it, my record is not good. But that's the plan. I'll try to do it. I have a lot of listeners now. I'm really happy about it. Somehow people keep finding it. I've done no advertising, but that's amazing. And I really appreciate it. And if anyone's ever posted a link to this or told anybody, I'm really grateful to you because it's really cool. And you know, I want to keep doing it. Also the other podcast, F This Podcast, I think it's getting better and better. I would encourage you, if you gave it a try earlier and didn't like it, I think we're getting a lot better at it. It's really funny. I find it hilarious. And if you like this podcast, then you must kind of like my taste in humor, maybe, or you're just interested in the Bible. That's fine. But give that a try, F This Podcast. Also like, please like the, Thomas and the Bible Facebook. It's facebook.com/TandTheB, I'm pretty sure. Or I'm just making that up. I don't actually remember. It's been a while. Yeah, but that would be awesome if you did. I got a lot of likes on there, and it's cool to communicate with people, and you guys can bug me about episodes, and I can tell you when what's happening and all that. But yeah, thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.